I would spit in someone's mouth happily. If that's what they wanted me to do, I would completely. But I'm not
feeling so weird.
I've done it before.
I'm trying to fix it.
It's like ownership. You are mine, and I can do what I want with you.
I licked it, and it's mine.
Literally. My spit is on it.
My spit is on it. It's mine now.
Welcome to the Wild Hearted Podcast. The Wild Hearted is a safe and inclusive space of guidance and resources for mental health, sex positivity, self-love, authenticity, and confidence. Follow us on this podcast as we learn from sharing our own experiences through wildly honest conversations. I'm Shanine, a psychology student, creative, and woman seeking out her authentic self in life and in relationships.
I'm Katarina, a self-love tantrika and dharma coach with a passion for traveling. My purpose is to be a source of support and guidance for anyone who strives to build an intimate, kind, and loving relationship with themselves. My training includes tantra, life coaching, yoga, reiki, and I'm currently obtaining my master's in psychology. Hi, and welcome to the Wild Hearted Podcast. Hi, my friend. How are you?
Hello, I am fantastic. How are you? How's Mozambique?
Mozambique is good. Arrived here just under a week ago. Today's quite stormy, but it's been lovely. Living right on the beach is what I'm born to do.
That's exactly where you're meant to be.
That's exactly what I'm meant to be.
Amazing.
I came into this with an agenda today because I feel like, you know where I'm going with this. I feel like the spotlight has been quite focused on me. These past few episodes, we had the nomadic episode, we had the solo healing to relationship healing episode. So I was wondering what's going on with you and in your life, especially after we talked in episode 17 about your bi curiosity.
Okay, so we're doing a check-in on my sexual antics since we had a little chat about me wanting to explore bi curiosity.
Yes, I feel like there are a few stories you might want to share.
So I have been exploring it. I suppose the ask and you shall receive is very, very true. Oh my gosh. Okay. So since we had that conversation, I was saying that I really wanted to explore that side of my sexuality a little bit more, but I wasn't really sure how to kind of approach it and how to deal with the dating as like someone who's not very experienced in dating bisexually. And I have to say that since I've put that out there, not that I've said it to anyone specifically, but I think mentally since I made the shift, I don't know what the energy is that I'm giving off, but women are much more comfortable coming up to me, which is amazing. I'm not at all complaining about this. Yeah, things have happened.
That is so interesting because I remember you said you are worried you're going to be bad in dating women and in flirting with women. So how has that changed?
Yeah, no, I'm apparently not.
At all.
It's the same as flirting with guys. Actually, I think it's more fun for me. I was very right about me being much more masculine when it comes to dating and flirting with women. I put on this very like, I don't put it on, but I just become this very like in control and in charge and kind of leading from the back seat kind of situation. I don't know if that makes any sense to say, but
leading from the back seat, please explain that.
It's like a passive leadership, not directly guiding the situation, but I feel in control, if that makes any sense.
You have like a very mysterious look on your face right now saying that.
Because I'm thinking about how I'm going to explain to you what I mean by this. And the only way to do that is to give you the full detail story of how things went down. Well, okay, let's say this. The conversation that we had the last time was successful. I got to meet her. We went out. We get along really well. She's an amazing kisser, like really good.
Are you hoping for her to listen so she can get the compliments?
I'm hoping this episode flies under the radar. But yeah, okay, it was.
So she's a great kisser.
She's a great kisser. Women are such sensual beings that it is impossible for it almost not to become this like really intimate thing. Like even if it's not romantic in any way, like it's fun and it's exciting. And we were literally like on a fucking club dance floor and then at my friend's apartment, like standing on the balcony. It was public areas, not very private, but amazingly got like lost in it.
That is very exciting. I remember those days when you have like this first initial connection and the other person is all you can see. It doesn't matter what else is going on around you. It's very hot and you feel so desired and wanted in that moment, which is just pure fire.
It is pure fire. It's just like passion. It was intense. And for me, like, I don't know if people will realize this about me, but I'm not huge on PDA. And I'm not like open.
Excuse me.
I have not
a very different experience.
I know. This is why I think it's shocking for most people that like I actually get a little bit shy if I'm being super affectionate with somebody in public. Obviously, when alcohol is involved, like I'm a little less shy. Mm. But the weird thing is we would kiss. And then I would obviously like pull away and then we'd realize that there are other people in the room and my friends have been standing there and they're like, okay, well, are you two done now? Can we have a conversation? And I was like, oh, fuck, I completely forgot that I'm actually out with friends, not just me and her, which was fun. And then they thought it was amazing. That was the evolution of that story, that episode.
Okay, but how did it end? What's the story now?
So with her, she's super casual. Like we've both been quite busy. We're still very much in touch and have plans to see each other kind of end of year, which is nice. I like that it's nothing, like it doesn't feel like pressure. And that was maybe naively something I was worried about because I was like, is it different creating an intention with a woman to creating an intention with a man? Because men can be super casual. Women, are they? I'm not sure. Turns out it's really much of the same. Even maybe more so. I think she's like extremely understanding. Maybe it's just this one particular person. But other than that, I've had some very spontaneous sexual encounters that have been quite a story. So I'll tell you about the other girl.
So there were two of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, this one is not necessarily anyone that I am in touch with. I don't even have their number. It was so out of the blue. I was out with another high school girlfriend of mine, and we were just having the fucking best time, not bothered about like dating or like trying to hook up or anything. And this woman comes up to me and she's like, oh my God, you are stunning. But girls always do that, right? It's not necessarily flirtation. She was also stunning, and I told her that, and we started chatting, and I think we're both just a little bit drunk. And she was telling me how she just loves Indian women and Indian culture. And like, she was like, oh, my family would be so excited if I got married to an Indian woman. Like, we'd have the most beautiful babies. Obviously, she's flirting with me now quite clearly. Yeah. So I'm taking the hint and I'm flirting back. And next thing you know, like, honestly, I could not even explain to you how it progressed from a chat and a drink to us in the middle, also again, middle of the dance floor, middle of the bar or whatever, full on wrapped around each other. Like my hands are in her hair, her arms are around my body. We're just like stuck to each other, like kissing.
Going for it.
like, you know, not at all PG. And she takes my hand and she's like, come with me to the bathroom. Sure, let's go to the bathroom. And we go to the bathroom, we go up the stairs, we're in the bathroom, we're kissing. She is pulling I'm wearing like this like a strappy dress. She's pulling the straps down on my dress. Like, fucking, it's intense. Okay. And then next thing you know, me, and I don't know why, because this isn't something that like I thought I would be super comfortable just doing. Next thing you know, I am like on my fucking knees in front of this woman. This is what I want. And she wants it too. So I end up going down on her in a club/restaurant bathroom. And it was, I think it was good. I think I was not bad. I'm not sure. But then anyway, the bouncer starts knocking on the door. And I'm like, okay, well, we should probably get out of here now before we get arrested or put in the naughty corner for looking up in the bathroom. I don't think it makes it any better if we were two women. Out giggling and laughing, and it was just like the most, it was just like such a spontaneous and like innocent thing. It was incredible. And then we chatted a little bit more and we were like laughing and flirting, and then she's gone. So she was from Joburg, she was leaving the next day. It was really like not even anything that would have progressed, but it was such a fiery little moment. And it was very encouraging for me to be like suddenly so in charge. And this is what I mean by like being in control, but like from the backseat, because I had no intention of taking this woman to the bathroom, but like I was just letting her lead. But then once I knew what she wanted, I was very happy to give it to her. So that's what I mean by that.
Your life has been exciting. Why don't we keep on talking about me? First of all, we need to remember to put an age restriction on this episode. 21.
R-rated on the cover.
Also, I'm hella impressed.
Me too.
So in like what, from episode 17 to episode 20, so like what, 6 weeks, you went from I'm curious, but I don't know how to approach it, to make out like a high school girl to going down on a girl in the bathroom.
I know. And I was like, I don't even understand. Because initially I was terrified of going down on a girl. I was like, fuck, what am I doing? I don't know if I'm doing it right. Next thing you know, I'm not even thinking about it. I'm just doing it. And it is very intuitive, I will say. You just do what you feel you would want, I guess. And listen to the reaction.
Was that the first time a girl came up to you, like hitting on you quite blatantly in a bar since you put it out there?
No. A few. No. It's been a few. Like, I'm not sure if it's also me, though. Like, I've also gone up. So the other day I went up to a woman and I was like, I'm really sorry to ask you this, but are you gay? She's like, I'm bisexual. Thanks for asking. And I literally said to her, I was like, I'm just trying to see if I can tell these days. Like, I'm not sure. And she's like, you don't really dress like you're bi or gay or queer. And I was like, yeah, I'm trying to make more of an effort to like present myself as someone who is open to being with girls so that I look more approachable. But it has been happening more often. And I think it's because I'm looking at women the same way that I look at men when I'm trying to flirt with them. You know what I mean? Like, I'm giving off their vibe. Not to all of them, but the ones that like I want.
I mean, you don't give it to all the men either. Just the ones you want. Right?
Exactly. I'm not like I fucking every single person in the room.
Sure, sounds like you're open for quite some experiences. Let's talk bathroom and let's talk you exploring going down on a woman. Do you feel like this is a kink, a fantasy, a desire? Where is this coming from?
There's definitely something exciting about being stolen away from a group of people, just not being able to wait and knowing that you've wanted so badly that it like it has to happen now. And sneaking away, finding a way to go and be naughty. I think that's fucking exciting. If we're at dinner and you're touching me under the table or like looking at me in a certain way or building that foreplay, it is incredibly hot. I don't know if it's me, but the fear of getting caught and the fear of potentially being watched, I love it. If I can have sex on a balcony on the 10th floor with a full busy street of people milling around and I'm there with the chance of anyone looking up and seeing, like, I'm quite happy with that.
You're making me nervous today. I don't know how to reply to you today. It's definitely hot and it's definitely exciting to know people could catch you or like watch you and like a passive part of it without being really invited into it, but kind of are invited into it because you're putting it out there.
there's like an added layer of excitement already knowing that you're doing something sexual, which always should be exciting. And then to know that you are the cause of somebody else potentially being turned on, just watching you do this. Like, they're not involved in any way, but you've left a mark. They're going to walk away being like, oh my God, I just saw the hottest thing happen. No one will believe this. I think knowing that you can have that impact is quite sexy for me and for a lot of other people, because I was super curious. So I did a little poll, and it turns out that quite a few people are into the risk of being caught in public. And I did quite an intense poll, and I would love to go through the results with you.
Please do. I'm so stoked to hear those. I get inspired here.
Just as a disclaimer, a few people unfollowed me after this poll, which I thought was quite fascinating. And also I thought, what feelings are coming up when you're finding this information on your social media or being confronted with these kinds of questions? Why do you feel like it's so bad? I come from a very sexually open background.
So do I, but I feel like we do have to understand that not everyone comes from as sexually open background or is as comfortable as we are to talk about it. And we do have to understand as well, it can be triggering. We do not know the stories of certain people, and certain questions, certain scenarios can be triggering. So it might also be that. So I guess there always has to be a level of compassion and just the knowing that everyone has a different background and a different story. And while we're talking about this, to create a safe space, to talk about these things and to show it's okay to be open for it, not everyone is quite there.
I completely understand the triggers, and I know that it's really, really hard to process. My wish would be for them to feel why they're being triggered and what is triggering them, and hopefully get to a space where they can work on those things and confront them and understand that sex isn't something that's like inappropriate or embarrassing or, you know, just too shameful to discuss. Like, it should be fun and exciting to be able to talk about these things publicly.
I know we posted it on our stories on We Are the Wild Hearted on Instagram yesterday, actually. It's also about, you know, this exploring sex and sexual encounters outside of a relationship is still very much shamed. It's still very much, you know, like the walk of shame, et cetera, right? It shouldn't be, you know, it's like you're allowed to play around consensually, you know that, but you're allowed to play around. You're allowed to collect your experiences. You're allowed to explore different kinks and desires and share those.
The concept of having a body count and how many women or how many men you've slept with having an impact on your value, or whether is there a number that's too high? Like, it makes very little sense, but I understand that it's something that socially has been put into place, because it's like, well, if you've slept with too many before, then you're a slut. But like, what is wrong with being slutty? I love it. I have had extremely beautiful sexual experiences with people that I don't really know. And I'm not sure if it's just because of the person, and I was lucky enough to be able to have a connection and to build a really quick level of intimacy with someone who I'm not super familiar with. But that doesn't make it any less meaningful than the same sexual experience in a relationship.
Pretty much as with everything in life, and especially when it comes to relationships and sexuality, everyone needs to kind of figure out what works for them and what they feel comfortable with. And everyone else needs to stop judging that. Like, as long as it doesn't affect you, as long as it doesn't harm anyone else, what's the problem? It's like, it is nothing to me with how many men you slept, and it's nothing to you that I'm like less, you know, like that.
Yeah, like, I don't judge people for me less studying than I am.
You kind of did once, actually. I remember when you asked publicly how many people of your Instagram followers did you sleep with, and I gave you the number, and you're like, no, Kat, I need you to be sluttier than that.
Oh, yeah, I said I would really appreciate it if you tried harder.
Like,
I'm shaming you, not slutty.
But you know what I mean? Everyone needs to be comfortable with themselves and their own number and their own experiences. I think that's the main thing that counts.
I have a lot of friends who are extremely sexual people, but they would prefer to be in a partnership with someone who they can trust and open up to.
That's me, for example.
Had this conversation. Yeah. Mm. You said you need the trust, you need the commitment in order to be your wildest, most sexual self. Those elements are necessary for you. And I would never say you're doing it wrong, you're missing out, because what works for you is different to what works for me. Yeah. How I do things works for me. And, you know, I may turn around at some points and go, you know, I'm going to slow down, which I really have, to be honest, because it just wasn't working for me anymore. And that's okay as well. Like the shift and the change, the seasons of how you want to be sexual is completely up to you at all times. Back to the poll. The first question was, do you consider yourself sexually adventurous? Like, I wanted to gauge the people involved. How do they see themselves?
Mm-hmm.
So only 3% said that they're very much on the conservative side, which is obviously, I think, maybe just the people who chose to interact. Not many of them who are conservative would have. 14% said, I'm curious, but a little shy. 55% said, I'm open to exploring my sexual limits, which I took to mean like they want to and they're getting there, but they're not like 100% all out yet on the sexual adventure. And then 28% said, the things I've done would make you blush, which...
That's a high percentage.
Which is pretty impressive. Yeah. So that 55% over half are getting there, and 30% almost are on their way or have been there.
Also, now I want to hear the stories. What's going to make me blush?
Do you know how hard it is to make me blush? Like, what are you doing? Please elaborate.
Where would you put yourself?
I would put myself at the things I've done would make you blush.
I wonder. I'm contemplating if... No, probably like the things I've done. No, definitely the things I've done. Never mind. I'm like having like a quick rerun in my head. Never mind. The things I've done. But it is a bit borderline to I'm open to it, because there is quite a few things I haven't done yet. And I'm still very much keen to explore and open to explore. And yeah, there are still things I want to do to make you blush.
Ooh. See, but this is the thing. There are so many things to explore. Like, I know that the stuff I've done would probably be, to a lot of people, very sexually out there or adventurous. But then I hear stories of other people's sexual experiences, and I'm like, oh shit, I didn't even think about that. I've never even ventured near it, like pain and pleasure, slapping and biting and like nipple clamps and like clitoral clamps. These are all things that are very new to me. Like, I haven't had much experience in the pain pleasure crossover. So for me, that's wild. But for a lot of people, that's just an everyday part of their sex life.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, it makes me blush, and I thought I've done it all.
That one doesn't make me blush so much, but I find it quite intriguing.
Like bruises and bite marks and all sorts of delicious things all over their body.
Bite mark is a nice thing. I like that.
Can I ask you a question though? Like, if you're getting left with a bite mark, are you enduring the pain like a strong trooper, or are you kind of yelping and expressing that it's painful? Or you just like yelping down and taking it?
No, you do yelp a bit, but it's like, I love the word yelping. So I personally do yelp, but I yelp with pleasure and joy.
Because I always imagine if I'm in that situation, I'm a very defiant person. I consider myself a bit of a brat. If you're trying to hurt me, I'm going to show you that I'm not in pain. I'm going to be like, try harder, baby.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Why am I not
so brat? So it takes a lot for me to admit that you've had an impact, which I know maybe isn't the point. And I suppose this is a question for people who are into inflicting a little bit of pain. Do you want to push the limit and like have somebody bear it? Or do you want to actually see the effect that you're having?
That's a very good question.
I don't like to hurt people. I like to pleasure them.
Yeah, same.
Okay. Second question was, which of these four things would you want to try first or do more of if you're already incorporating it? So the top two was naughty things in public, and sub and dom power play, which was 30% each. And then second was role play and fantasies. And then last on the list with only 15% was the pleasure and pain boundary. So the pleasure and pain thing is actually not that big for a lot of people, or not that high of a sexual desire. But public sex and or the risk of getting caught and the sub and dom thing I thought was very, very interesting. Like being a submissive and having somebody be in control or relinquishing that power to somebody is something that I'm quite interested in.
I was just thinking that if I would have like partaken in that poll, which I didn't because unfortunately I missed it, but that's probably the one I would have chosen. Yeah.
The sub and dom power play.
Yeah, absolutely. I like even thinking about it gets me just hits me a bit turned
on.
I can
see you like,
I'm like daydreaming now. That's enough.
Yeah.
When it comes to the bedroom or bedroom activities, I quite like being the submissive one.
Me too. If you want me to be in control, I will. I think it's more about making somebody happy. Like if you said to me, I want you to dominate me, then I would. I would do it for you.
But that's almost like being a submissive again, right? You're following orders. But exactly. You're following orders, which gives it a whole different level of hotness. But with you, it seems like it's also a little bit different when you are with guys or with girls, because clearly you took quite like the dominant lead in your bathroom experience.
That is very true. That is very, very true. I put a BDSM test on my story and I did it for myself and I was like 90% submissive, but I did this ages ago and I'm actually quite curious if I did it again after having these experiences and feeling more comfortable being more dominant, if that would probably change.
Probably.
Okay. Then I did sexual bucket list. So I have like quite a few responses that people have given me, which I thought was quite interesting. And then I played a game of have you ever? So I'll read the stories out for you and we'll discuss them. And then we can do the have you ever. Have you ever is intense. I thought it was intense. So people's sexual bucket lists were quite interesting to me. And I think it might be because I stated mine and mine was to have sex on a boat at night under the stars. So I think people got the idea that they wanted it to be a specific location. But there were some interesting responses. First response was a tantric experience with three partners out in nature. So I don't know if that means four of you. You plus
three partners. Out in nature. You plus three partners would mean four of you,
So like a nature orgy, a tantric nature orgy. Sounds hot. I'll say BDSM, which is could be a whole variety of things, but I'm guessing like a little bit of naughty and bondage and stuff like that. One said, any public space is such a kink for me. Another said sex on the office desk of an incredibly successful businessman during office hours.
I just want to get a sugar daddy. I feel like you just want to get a sugar daddy.
Maybe, but I think the idea of fucking a successful and powerful person is very appealing. There's a hotness in someone who's the boss, who's in charge. Then somebody said sex in really deep, fresh snow in the middle of nowhere, which sounds quite fun, actually.
So I tried that. It's cold, guys. But it's a little bit overrated, quite similar to sex on the beach.
Yeah, you're just getting snow in all those.
Like you're just getting snow and it's cold. I mean, the nice thing is because of the snow, it does sensitize your bits quite a bit. You are feeling deeper, but make sure it's not an hours long play.
Putting a blanket down?
Well, it kind of depends on the scenario. There was no blanket there.
Okay. All right. Then someone else said a threesome with two girls and one guy because they'd already done the one with two guys with the laughing face. Mm-hmm. Good for you. That's a good one. Another person said eating my partner out until she reaches climax under the stars with a flickering firelight.
Good man. Good man.
Yeah. I like that your fantasy is pleasing somebody else.
Yeah.
And then the last one, which was quite interesting and I'd never thought of before, was having sex while heavily pregnant one day with the idea of procreating with my soulmate. So I recently learned that there's something called a breeding kink, which is like, you know, when you're having sex and the girl's like, come inside me, and guys find this so attractive because it's like you just want to be like filled with their cum. I don't know. The idea that like you want them bad enough that you want to make their babies is a sexual kink.
Interesting. And that's called breeding kink.
Breeding. I know it's a bit like, it's a bit on the nose, but.
Yeah, it's a little bit.
I feel like we're livestock when you say breeding kink. It's weird. But
yeah,
the fantasy is the fantasy, which is great. But I wouldn't say that it's a kink of mine, to be honest.
I'm too scared of the reality of it.
Yeah.
Have the kink, right, like, you know, right, like,
have your baby. I'm not sure. Although, with the love of my life, I would say that, like, yeah, if I'm deeply in love with someone, I think it would probably be, would become quite a passionate thing to be like, we're going to make a baby now together.
But that's a conscious decision. When you decide consciously, we're going to have a child and we make a child, rather than, oh, it's my kink that you come inside of me and we play Russian roulette if I fall pregnant or not, because I actually don't know. And I don't know you very well, but sure, Paul.
Yeah, I suppose you're right. Does the breeding kink work with anyone, or does it have to be someone you actually would have their baby with?
Kink is a kink. That's something you explore, I guess, with whoever you want to explore it, right?
Yeah.
It's like if you make a conscious decision to have a baby, then you try to have a child, then it's not really a kink.
What I'm saying is, I think it would make sex more exciting for me if I was like, okay, we're together, we're going to have a baby. I would be turned on by the idea that now this is like a different purpose for the same.
I want to say that's the difference. Your intention is to create another life rather than let's play Russian roulette and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't you know, like the feeling of cum inside me for no reason.
Exactly.
With no desire to have a baby.
Exactly.
And then I played Have You Ever? The first Have You Ever was, have you ever had anyone spit in your mouth? And 34% of people said they have, which is a lot higher than I thought. But 48, which is almost half, said they'd never do that. And 17% said, no, they haven't yet, but they would. I'm not a fan, I must admit.
I struggle to see the appeal, but it's been coming up more and more often. So I probably would be open to give it a try just to see what's it about. But I struggle to see the appeal.
I would spit in someone's mouth happily. If that's what they wanted me to do, I would completely. But I'm not
so weird.
I've done it before.
I'm trying to picture it, like Marooning and Jude, like the person sitting in front of you, like,
you put your hand on their cheeks and you hold their mouth open and you loom over them. And you go, do you want me to spit in your mouth, baby?
I mean, I guess it's part of all the, it's part of a probably submissive dominant kind of role.
It's like ownership. You are mine and I can do what I want with you.
Yeah. I licked and it's mine.
Literally. My spit is on it.
It's my spit is on it. It's mine now. Who needs a ring?
Yeah, we don't have an engagement ring, but he spat in my mouth. So he claimed it. This is modern romance for you.
Modern romance. Okay.
And then I did, have you ever been choked or restrained or pinned down? 70% said yes. They said, of course, which is quite cool. And then 7% said definitely not. And 20% said they would.
So I have.
I have as well. I don't like to be choked like where I can't breathe, but I do like to be just restrained in that way.
Yeah. I like it a bit tougher than I probably should admit on a public podcast.
I have a feeling you can handle quite a, like, to say
that's the thing. That's the thing. I feel like I have quite a high pain threshold, you know.
And you,
like,
do, because I've seen the tattoo that you've got.
Yeah.
I have a very high pain threshold, but I don't like to be hurt sexually. It's something that I'm still kind of getting used to, or like playing around with the idea of. It's not immediately something that attracts me sexually.
For me, it's like a sensation of a pleasurable pain. It is quite similar to getting a tattoo, to be honest. There's a limit to it, but a certain level of pain I personally find very pleasurable. I think that's where the biting comes in, the pulling the hair, the choking. Yeah. I find it gives me some kind of, I don't know if it's the satisfaction of like being able to endure it, to be honest, or if it's like being submissive to the pain, or if it's like a little bit of both, but it gives me, gives me quite a bit of pleasure.
I actually never thought about it as being able to endure it and like the pride, the ability to do that, having an element. That's something to think about.
And I must be honest, I remember I used to have this bite mark on my arm and it was almost like a badge. I've been quite proud of it.
I like the idea of that. Like if somebody leaves like a little love bite or something on or like a bruise, it's like you're just secretly so proud of your little,
your little mark. Like, look at it and have like a little smirk, a little like flashback.
And like send a message, be like, I can still see your marks on my body. It's hot. I think it's hot.
Yeah, it is.
And then I asked, have you ever filmed yourself with or without a partner? And 74% said yes. 13% they would never. And 13% said it's on their to-do list. I must admit that I watched my own sex tapes. I find myself in very sexy.
I mean, I also rewatched my tapes, to be honest. The solo ones as well as the partners. What's the point of making them if you don't watch them?
Exactly. I have a friend who recently had a sexual encounter with a guy who pulled out her phone and started filming, and he was like, you can save that for later. And I like that because you're in control. Ooh. It's your phone.
Yeah.
But he took the charge to make the video, but he's kept it with her, so you have absolutely no risk.
It's also very hot, to be honest. Like, I'm imagining this, like, you lie there and the guy takes your phone, starts filming on your phone, and looks at you, and it's like, you can save that for later. That's just hot.
Yeah.
That's
it
hot.
It is hot, right?
That's hot. He takes control, but still makes you feel safe because everything is on your phone. And also, yeah, you can save that for later. So it's like, I know this is going to be good. Like, that's hot.
Yeah, I thought that was a very impressive move. The nice thing is, like, you get the danger of being filmed, but the safety of knowing that you have full control of it.
You have full control.
The last question that I asked was, have you ever done something sexual knowing that you could be seen? Which was like the public space kind of vibe.
Yep.
And 81% said yes, which I'm so excited about all of these kinky people because...
all these kinky people.
You never know when you're out and about and you see your friends having as a couple what they could have been up to, which is so much fun. I love it. I'm very impressed with our results. I think people are a lot kinkier than I thought they would be,
I just want to say I'm very surprised. People seem to be quite a bit more adventurous than you would assume meeting people on the street. So that's exciting. That's very exciting. And I think that's amazing as well, the people starting to feel more comfortable to share and be open about this and partake in these polls and say like, damn right, I've done that.
To proudly share it and like give little stories and things and give feedback, which was amazing. Sexual kinks are something that if you're doing it safely and consensually and you understand all of the risks and little nitty-gritties involved, there's no reason why you can't go into exploring yourself. Like, there shouldn't be any shame about it. I think it's amazing. I think it's a conversation we need to be having more of, to be honest. I love the idea of exploring new things, learning about new kinks, figuring out if they work for you or not, playing around safely.
I liked how you put that. And in the end of the day, the more we know ourselves sexually and sensually, the more we learn about ourselves. It's similar to when I said, like, the pain threshold, it's like, is it because I'm quite proud of, like, I'm able to endure it? The strengths I show, the willpower I show. It just shows, like, parts of my character and of who I am. And this is a nice, fun way to explore and get to know yourself better.
There's a lot of confidence that comes out of exploring new sexual sides to yourself as well. I always find when I've done something new and I've turned out to have really enjoyed it, it feels like I've unlocked a new power within me. There's a new layer of fun that I can now have, which is amazing.
there's a new layer of fun and a new layer of pride. Like, I feel quite proud of myself when I push my boundaries and I explored more. And I'm usually happier. I'm a happier person.
I think it's a pride thing, hey? Because, like, when I do something that's, like, a little bit out of the out of the norm. Yeah. I'm super proud of myself. I'm like, look at you, you kinky wild girl.
Same. I will have a smile on my face, like, only I know, but if you would know.
If you enjoyed this podcast, or if you have a partner that you want to subtly hint that you try some new things with, definitely share it with them.
Send the episode to anyone you think would enjoy it too, so we can grow. That's it from us. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Wild Hearted Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, like, follow, and share, and visit our website at www.thewildhearted.net for blog posts and online resources on our offerings.
Find us on Instagram at @wearethewildhearted. Until then, keep your heart wild now and forever.